Today, on this episode of the PeerDirect Special Spotlight.
You know, those visual gains are great, but what we really like about those visual gains is it came commonly with fewer injections. You know, this is an RVO trial that had extended dosing.
Today, Drs. Vakharia and Danzig join the podcast to discuss retinal disease updates from AAO 2025 in this PeerDirect Special Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Carl Danzig, a retina specialist from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
And I'm Priya Vakharia, a retina specialist from Tampa Bay, Florida.
Thanks for joining me, Priya.
It's my pleasure to be here, Carl.
I'd like to discuss a few interesting presentations we saw recently at the AAO American Academy of Ophthalmology meeting in Orlando. There were a few exploring treatments for retina exudative diseases, including RVO, wet AMD, and DME. Why don't we begin with the QUASAR randomized phase 3 study exploring aflibercept 8 milligrams for retina vein occlusion with macular edema?
So the QUASAR study, as you mentioned, looked at patients with macular edema secondary to retinal vein occlusion. And in this trial, patients were randomized to one of three groups, either a standard aflibercept 2 milligram control, which was given every 4 weeks, or our aflibercept 8 milligram arms, the first of which was given three initial monthly injections followed by every 8-week dosing, and the second arm, which was given five initial monthly injections followed by every 8-week dosing. And of course, the primary endpoint was looking at changes in BCVA over week 36. And at week 36, the BCVA gains were comparable between all three arms across RVO subtypes, including BRVO and CRVO. So for CRVO, the arms had about an average of anywhere from 15.9 to 17.2 letter gain. And for BRVO, the arms had an average of about 18.3 to 19.2 letter gains between the three arms. Carl, do you want to talk a little bit about the injection burden?
Absolutely. Well, you know, those visual gains are great, but what we really like about those visual gains is it came commonly with fewer injections. You know, this is an RVO trial that had extended dosing for an RVO trial as part of its trial design. Traditionally, RVO trials were monthly dosing head-to-head for 5 or 6 doses, and then that's a primary endpoint. Here, we had a aflibercept 8 milligrams at longer dosing than every month, as every, you know, 8 weeks. So very happy to see that the, you know, mean injections were less with the 8 milligram arm. And then furthermore, the central retinal thickness, well, they were similar. So now we have similar visual gains, similar reduction of CST with fewer injections in the 8 milligram arm. So most patients in the 8 milligram every 8 weeks after 3 monthly doses or the 8 milligrams every 8 weeks after 5 monthly doses, they maintain the Q8-week dosing at the end of week 36. And furthermore, what's important here is that the safety profiles for 8-milligram aflibercept was consistent with the 2-milligram aflibercept.
This is a really great summary of the QUASAR trial. So, Carl, aflibercept 8 milligram is now approved for retinal vein occlusion, and we know that retinal vein occlusion is a very VEGF-driven disease. How does this change your management for those patients with retinal vein occlusion now in the clinic?
Well, I feel that this is nice because now we have another molecule that will work for these patients. And aflibercept 2 milligram had great results with RVO, and 8 milligram, I believe, will also. And furthermore, it's not just as approved for RVO. We now have monthly dosing approved for 8 milligram. So in a patient that can't go 8 weeks, and some of those patients with RVO have stubborn retinas, and they need, you know, more injections because they're high VEGF producers. So having the ability to inject 8 milligram aflibercept monthly is crucial for these patients.
I couldn't agree more. I think that we're really excited to see that more frequent dosing get added to the label as well.
Absolutely. So let's move on. Let's talk about the late-breaking New Day study presentation from the great Victor Gonzalez, looking at intravitreal fluocinolone acetonide implant in patients with early DME.
Perfect. So the goal of the New Day study was to directly compare anti-VEGF versus a corticosteroid implant or fluocinolone acetonide 0.19 for the management of center-involving diabetic macular edema. And I think the goal of this study, you know, the overarching goal was to see if early treatment with intravitreal corticosteroid did anything to reduce injection burden and also did anything to change visual acuity outcomes. So patients were eligible to participate in New Day if they were treatment-naive patients with a central subfield thickness greater than 350 microns. And as with all of our DME trials, patients were excluded if they had proliferative diabetic retinopathy, prior panretinal photocoagulation, uncontrolled glaucoma, or prior intraocular steroid exposure. And again, this was a multi-center randomized trial that was conducted across 42 sites between 2020 and 2025, enrolled 306 eyes with an 18-month follow-up period. In the loading phase, patients in the aflibercept arm received 5 monthly injections, while the fluocinolone group received a single implant, followed by either sham or supplemental aflibercept injections monthly for 5 months. And during the maintenance phase, both groups could receive supplemental aflibercept based on predefined retreatment criteria, including persistent or worsening DME or vision loss. Carl, what were the results of the New Day study?
Well, Dr. Gonzalez reported there were no significant differences between groups in the number of supplemental aflibercept injections required or in the proportion of patients who needed additional treatment, approximately 30% in each group. However, the mean total number of injections was lower in the fluocinolone group, 3.4 versus 7.5 injections in the aflibercept arm. And this represents a substantial reduction in overall treatment burden. Now, regarding secondary outcomes, Priya, visual acuity improvement favored the aflibercept group, likely due to higher rates of cataract progression in the steroid implant arm. This is to be expected. But among the pseudophakic patients, however, there was no significant difference in the BCVA between the groups. And both treatment arms had comparable rates of adverse events, with the steroid group showing expected increases in cataract formation and ocular hypertension.
So, Carl, how does this change your management of DME patients? You know, the New Day study was really interesting because it's really early adoption of corticosteroids. And one of the things that I think most retina specialists do is we actually wait a long time to initiate corticosteroids. I think the standard practice that most retina specialists do is they tear anti-VEGF first and maybe use intravitreal corticosteroid in that recalcitrant patient. This study changes that paradigm, right? This study is about earlier adoption of corticosteroids and looking at the outcomes. So how does this change the management in your clinic?
Well, I think it confirms the benefit of steroids to patients when they're treated early. I think one of the challenges that we face is that a lot of our diabetic patients are working individuals and commonly phakic. So once we discuss the fact that we're going to put a medicine in your eye and it will make your cataract worse and you will need surgery in that eye because it's a harder leap for the patient to say, I'm going to do it. Now, coupling that with, hey, we can put fewer needles in your eye, they love that. Now, the other challenge that, you know, is a little, you know, different from what we've been discussing, you know, or what was discussed at AAO is, you know, can we get approval for it as treatment naive patients? I mean, a lot of these diabetic patients have commercial insurance and, you know, initiating this type of therapy requires a lot of legwork by the physician and sometimes the patient too.
I think those are great points. And I think that it's a nice tool to have in our toolbox. You know, it's funny because we're always asking for extended medications that last a really long time. And we have some of those with diabetic macular edema. We have intravitreal corticosteroids. And it's nice to just remember that those are treatment options.
Absolutely. And I've had some great results in my clinic in patients, not treatment naive, but who have used this product. So right now, I'd like to discuss one more interesting poster. We saw phase 2 results from the DAVIO 2 and Verona studies of vorolanib intravitreal insert that promises every 6-month maintenance therapy in patients with previously treated neovascular AMD and DME.
So yeah, so let's go over the DAVIO 2 and Verona studies. So these are both the phase 2 studies looking at vorolanib in the treatment of either neovascular AMD or diabetic macular edema. So in DAVIO 2, which was the phase 2 looking at neovascular AMD, patients had 3 aflibercept loading doses. And in this trial, patients then received either a single vorolanib dose, which was either 2 milligram or 3 milligram, or they continued on in that standard aflibercept comparator every 8 weeks. To pivot to Verona, which is the DME study, this study was a little different. All patients received a single aflibercept 2 milligram dose, but some patients also received vorolanib at a slightly higher payload of 1.3 milligram or 2.7 milligram at the same time. And then patients were followed over time to look at rescue and to look at visual acuity outcomes. So again, let's pivot back to DAVIO 2. This was the wet AMD study. In this study, patients who received vorolanib were non-inferior to that standard aflibercept Q8-week control, with similar changes in BCVA from baseline at months 7 and 8. But 63% of vorolanib-treated eyes were supplemental anti-VEGF injection-free up to month 8. In VERONA, which was a study for DME, both doses of vorolanib extended that time to first supplemental anti-VEGF injection versus aflibercept. More vorolanib-treated eyes were supplemental anti-VEGF injection-free up to week 24, 73% in the vorolanib 2.7 milligram arm and 50% in the aflibercept arm. And across both trials, no vorolanib-related ocular or systemic serious adverse events were reported. So, Carl, we just talked about treatments, extended-release treatments potentially for DME with corticosteroids, but now we're talking about a totally different class of medication, tyrosine kinase inhibitors, which I know that you're very involved with and, you know, are kind of exciting in this space. What are your thoughts on tyrosine kinase inhibitors, specifically vorolanib and other tyrosine kinase inhibitors that are out there?
Right. So I am a big proponent of innovations such as this, and tyrosine kinase inhibitors are able to really target VEGF on the intracellular space and hopefully will have longer-term dosing in the real world. Now, what I'm excited to see is these phase 3 trials. Now, we just talked about two phase 2 trials. Now, we know that there is a phase 3 Lugano and Lucia study with vorolanib, and then there will be a phase 3 DME study with it also, and other TKIs are also in phase 3 as well. I think that it's going to provide patients with more options that we hope will be safe. They appear to be safe so far, like from what the phase 2 readouts were, but we want to confirm that with phase 3 always. And I'm hoping that these other options will be available to our patients to really give them extended dosing, because as much as they love seeing us, Priya, they'd rather just see us in the supermarket.
I couldn't agree more. I think that these are really exciting. I love being a retina specialist for this reason. We have really exciting therapeutics that are being studied and could really help with treatment burden and maybe even help with slight superiority in vision. Remember, in Verona, patients who had the single dose of the vorolanib 2.7 milligram maybe trended towards better vision. And so I think there are some exciting things that may be in the pipeline.
Well, Priya, this has been great. Thanks for speaking with me about some of these interesting abstracts from AAO 2025.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you, Carl.
And thank you to our audience. We hope that this discussion will help with the care of patients with retina diseases.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions? Please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, "What's my Flash Briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Vakharia and Danzig. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.